Please be seated. There's a story of a man who had been stranded on a desert island for many, many years. One day, while strolling on the beach, he spotted a ship out in the distance, and this had never happened in all the time that he was on the island, so he was, of course, very excited about the chance of being rescued. Immediately, he built a fire on the beach, and he tried to build up as much smoke as possible, and it worked. The ship started heading his way and dispatched a dinghy to investigate. The man on the island was overjoyed and met his saviors as they landed. The rescuers asked the man how he'd managed to survive for so many years, and the man told them of his exploits for food and how he'd made a house to live in. He pointed up on the ridge, and the rescuers looked up there, but they saw three buildings. "Well, what's the building next to your house?" they asked him. "Oh," the man replied, "that's my church. That's where I go on Sunday mornings to worship." "Well, then, what's that other building?" they ask. "Oh, that's the church I will never step foot in again." And I think the story would actually be funnier if it weren't so true. I'm convinced that we humans, and especially we 21st century humans, seem to actually enjoy being offended. You don't believe me? Just turn on any news coverage. Look at Facebook. Click on any of the increasingly insane websites that purport to be news and discover just how gullible we've become. Maybe it's easier for us to rant about what offends us instead of making the effort to coherently verbalize and celebrate what we stand for. And that's pretty sad to me, because there really is so much good in this world. But somehow we've gotten to the point where we seem to prefer committing our time and energies toward those things that offend us. And the church, good Lord, the church has probably offended more people than any entity or topic in the history of the world. But all we need to do, I think, is to look at today's gospel lesson and realize that this human condition is probably not as new as we might think. There's a whole lot to preach on in today's gospel. There's bread, again, and I'm done with that after 4 weeks in a row. We could talk about communion. That's in there, but I'm really not sure that's the point of all this. And instead, this week in my preparation, I couldn't get past a simple sentence that Jesus asked his followers. Does this offend you? Now, if I were good at Greek, I could get into a deep analysis of it, but just in my study, the word comes from the word we use, scandal, or might even be translated a stumbling block. But I kind of like the phrase that we have, does this offend you? Or even better, the translation from Eugene Peterson's translation, The Message, that says, does this throw you completely? You see, in today's text, it might be easier than we think to identify with the crowds who are following Jesus, because the truth is, what Jesus has been saying the last 4 weeks is hard to understand, and it's hard to listen to. And now, some of those following Jesus have apparently had enough. But we shouldn't write these people off too soon, because they are us. Disciples, as John refers to them. They're good folks, doing the best they know how. Believed in Jesus and had probably given up a lot more than you or I ever will to follow him. But now, after all their waiting and watching and wondering and worrying, they've just gotten tired. They just can't see very clearly what it was about Jesus that attracted them in the first place. And who can blame them? Every one of us has been there. Every one of us here has at one time or another wondered whether we believed in vain. During the dark of the night, watching and praying, or the early morning waking up, hoping for a new day, and instead merely finding another day. If we try, we can understand these folks. They're weary, they are tired, they're overwhelmed, and they're frustrated. They want to believe, they used to believe, they're trying to believe, but like so many over the ages, they've gone through the motions for so long that they've finally just given up. And while we may like to scoff and make fun of Peter's bumbling throughout the Gospels, his words of response in today's Gospel are some of the most precious words in all of Scripture. Lord, where would we go? Where would we go? And you see, I've come to the conclusion that the disciples who left Jesus that day didn't do so because his teachings were too difficult or offensive. I think they left because they weren't offensive enough. Do you find the teachings of Jesus difficult or offensive? If not, you might not be paying attention. If not, then perhaps we've been handed the sweetened and condensed version of it all for too long. If we simply view our discipleship as accepting Jesus as our personal Savior and friend, whatever that means, without any hide-off-our-back investment, then we've missed the point, as much as those wayward disciples did that day. That kind of discipleship might make us feel good, but discipleship is not something we dust off and use from one crisis of faith to another. Jesus has been offending people for over 2,000 years. Jesus' words in this section of John are hard teachings. They are difficult to listen to. If you take it at face value, you should be offended. Cannibalism and vampirism, eat my flesh, drink my blood, they sound more like an episode of The Walking Dead than Holy Scripture. But what's even more offensive in all this is this whole idea of a total commitment. As the old saying goes, Jesus has gone from preaching to meddling. And that because that kind of commitment that Jesus is talking about is so deeply connected and rooted that we literally consume him and are consumed by his love and grace. We can no longer lay claim to the illusion that we control our own destiny, much less our own lives. And for some, that is more than they are willing to give. But in the wise words of Peter, where else would we go? No one can offer the promise of Christ. No other source will expect us to give our all in order to be all we were created to be. No one on earth, no matter how well-intentioned, will love us like the Christ. No one else, especially not ourselves, can ever save us. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. Got two coats? Give one away. Love your enemies. Did you visit me in prison? Love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Who are you to judge? Blessed are the meek, the poor, the persecuted. Go into all the world. Treat each other like you want to be treated. Take up your own cross. Forgive me like I forgive other people. Those are not my words. Those are the words of the one we claim to follow. Does it offend you? I hope to God it does. For it is what empowers each of us to lighten the path of faithfulness for ourselves and for each other, because that's a path that we'll never ever travel alone. God love you. Amen.